Come closer, my dear brothers.
From all over, brothers can come forward.
All the young brothers, I think the columns are strong enough. The columns won't fall down. Come forward. We sit correctly with the correct intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us tawfiq to practice. Allah will give us tawfiq to take it to the rest of the world, inshallah.
Come closer. Come closer.
Allah. Now we were in Ethiopia, Habasha. Come forward. There's a gap. Professor, are you still stay there? Come forward. Come forward, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, you see the saf. The imam don't make too much of announcement. The people fill the gaps. They make the so they fill the gaps fast. Went to Turkey also. Turkey also. The imam just make one announcement. Safs are straight and not a single gap. In Nigeria we went also, the people, the tahajjud time, if you're not there, tahajjud time in the first saf, many masajid, when the azan goes, there's no place in the first saf. Allah make it our masajid become like that also. Maghrib Pisha, now we went Addis, masjid is abad, most of the masajid, most of the people stay. Either in Shiradi Amal or there's some classes taking place. We are the ones listening and we are telling the whole world to come to the masjid, make the masjid alive. A person whose heart is attached to the masjid, he will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is happening in other parts of the world. Especially in Africa, if you go, you see it. See, come forward, inshallah. Who is there? Come fill that gap. Suddul khalal. Any gap you leave is a place for? Who will come there? Shaitan. Shayateen are many.
See, inshallah. Come forward.
See.
Come.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My respected brothers, first we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have to feel that we are honored. Allah ta'ala has honored us by granting us the ability to be here for the fikr of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sit in a gathering for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sit in a gathering for the worry and concern that how the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come alive in the entire world. And how the beautiful way and tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can come into the life of every single person in the world. See? There's no success, no happiness in any way except the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah has brought us, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the house of Allah, if I come to your house, I will be your guest. If you come to my house, you'll be my guest. We are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be honored. We should be happy. Some of the jamaats come back and sometimes they eat in certain countries. Then they go to the palace of the prince. So they say it with so much of, you know, what you say, pride or enthusiasm and relish. This is the palace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we feel as happy? Each one, I can't see your heart, you can't see my heart. I'm saying the words. But what is the reality in my heart? Allah knows and I know. See? How happy are that we are in the palace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? Are we happy? Are we proud? Are we enthusiastic that we are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? See? If we really had this feeling, then to give time to our masjid every day will be easy. We'll be waiting for the day, Maghrib to Isha, or Asr to Isha, whatever time we are giving, we'll be looking forward to it, that I'm going to make the house of Allah alive with amal. So this, if we do the work correctly, inshallah, when we're out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we can spend our time correctly, automatically the attachment will come. See? Like some of our elders, some are alive, some are passed away, they used to say that when a person spent his first weekend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the early days, in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, automatically he became a 5-time namazi. Automatically. 5-time salah came into his life. See, without one weekend in the path of Allah, 1 3 days, automatically 5-time salah was in his life. And the second thing, what you say, sunnah, automatically he started growing his beard. No one had to explain to him all the masail, like how we are explained today, how ulama are explaining.
And the third thing, many of them, I mean most of the people, is that the pants became above the ankle. Even if you are not wearing the kurta full time. Automatically. See? Because of how the time was spent by the brothers. So first we have to be grateful to Allah. Allah has brought us.
Whoever comes behind you, inshallah.
See? We have to feel honored. We are in the house of Allah. We are the guests of Allah. We are listening to the talk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we mentioned last week, that I heard myself, Haji Abdul Wahab, in one of the old workers' programs, he said that while bayan is taking place, nobody should make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody should make dhikr. Nobody should sit with the tasbih. He gave the reason, because when a person is talking about the greatness of Allah, these are ayats of Quran. If it's alim giving a bayan, then he quotes the ayat. If non-alim, then if, for example, we say Allah has created the sky without any column. This is the ayat of Quran. Not a leaf falls from the tree, except that it falls by the permission of Allah. So to do anything else when the Quran is being recited is disrespect to the Quran. Many places we go for barakah in the shop, people play the Quran. People are not dressed properly. People are doing their work. So we think we are doing something good. That's why we are told that whatever we do, ask the ulama. Sometimes we think it's right, we think it's beneficial, we think it's good. But go and ask the ulama. Ask the senior ulama, ask the pious ulama, then they will guide us. So the Mahadisab is to say, now imagine if we can't make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it that if I take out my phone and I reply to someone's message, the WhatsApp, how would it be? See, you can't take out, Mahadisab said, don't make zikr of Allah with the tasbih. How would it be to use the phone? See? So let us, inshallah, if we sit correctly, like how Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib Rahmatullah to say that one matchstick is enough to burn the whole world. One program is enough to light up our heart. To make our heart come on fire with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make our heart come on fire with the worry that how every person can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. But one, just one, we sit correctly, we listen correctly, 1 3 days correctly, 1 40 days correctly, 1 4 months correctly, inshallah. 1 year correctly. Allah will give us. We can't get it. Only Allah can give it to us. So firstly, these programs, these gatherings, our gush, if we don't feel that Allah has honored us, Allah has blessed us, and Allah has favored us, when we don't take this amal serious, this is a way to be deprived. A person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will increase him in those favors. When a person is ungrateful, what is the warning? And the punishment of Allah for Allah ta'ala is severe. So these are favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us so much. Hadith Abdullah Sahib used to say that a person sometimes he speak about his mother or his wife. You know my wife, how she cooks. Sometimes when we get together, eat time, many places you go, some of the brothers, I don't know whether they're scared of their wife or they're so impressed by their wife. But whatever their wife made, they want everybody to try it out. See? They say, you know, this here, my wife made this. No, what this? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave us air to breathe. Allah Ta'ala, He gave us sleep at night. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He gave us food to eat. We go to the toilet, we can pass our number one urine. Once we were in Hajj, so Arafat, we came to Mina. I'm sorry, we went to Muzdalifa to Mina. There was one elderly, now he passed away. Right? But at that time already he was elderly. So he told us he needs to go to the toilet. So while we were walking, so we found a restaurant. So he went inside. We are waiting outside. Waiting. Half an hour went by. And this person never come out. When he came out, he had tears in his eyes. He said, I'm sitting there, but I got pain. You know, like how when you got the urgent number one. He said, I got that urgency, but my urine is not coming out. So we told him, can you manage to walk? Because then, like now, we're already on the pathway. Came to Makkah, we took him to the clinic. They had to take him to the hospital. See? Every day, how many times a day we pass urine? Allah Ta'ala allows us. See, we eat, we can taste the food, we can see. Once we went somewhere, we were out in Jamaat and a person invited us for a meal. So we had the meal in his garden. And in his garden he had beautiful flowers, different roses and different other flowers, different colors. But that man was blind. And his grandchild came out. No, a grandchild came to sit on his lap. But that man can't see the smile on his grandchild's face. Dead man can't see. He said the garden was done by his wife. All the flowers, beautiful, the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dead man can't see the different colors. We can see. We ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has done this for us. We can hear the sounds of babies, our own babies, now our grandchildren. We can hear their voices. We can hear that when they start talking those first words, those sounds are beautiful. What about the person who cannot hear? How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us? Do we speak like how that brother will speak about his wife's made that dessert, you know? Like how we'll promote it and market it. Do we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that? Hadith Abu Abdul Absalom used to say that your man will speak about his mother, speak about his wife, what they do for him, what they cook for him. So how? Yeah? And our wives do for us, our mothers do for us. I met one person, his mother passed from our area, so his mother passed away while we were out. So last week we went to visit him, to sympathize with him. So his father passed away 44 years ago. His mother never remarried. She looked after the children, brought them up, finished. She never remarried. There's a sacrifice a woman gives. Our wives, how what they don't do for us. That's why this, now my mind is deviating. But this, the ladies, see, what is our responsibility to them? Our mothers, our wives, our daughters. Have you seen a small child, a girl, playing? Sometimes in the house, you see other children outside, how they play with a doll, with a bag, you know? Like naturally, the natural instinct of a girl. No one teaches her that she take a baby, doll, baby, you want a baby, they put a parda on, see? That same girl grows up, she becomes a woman, and she gets married, see? And that person, so if you see any small girl running around, playing around, all of us who are married, we should think that one day my wife was also like that. And she was safe in the house of her father. She was a princess, even if they were living in a shack. But she should come out, even if you come to we go to an informal settlement, you see the small girls running around. But they feel safe because their mother and father is there. See? So that girl, she grows up. And Allah, in the Fazail al-Sadaqat, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, he writes, that it is Allah who put it in the heart of her mother and father to say yes. And get her married to you. See? Who got her married to you? Who married? Not yet. Allah give you a good papa, his wife will help you in this effort, inshallah. See? Who gave it to you? Who? Those who are married? Allah put it in the parents' heart. See? We don't speak about dreams. But many years ago, plus minus 15 years, one of our senior ulama of our country, he had a dream of a graveyard and the grave was on fire. See? And the grave was on fire. So this dream came 3 nights in a row. So then he went to the graveyard. He went to the graveyard and he identified the grave. Then he traced the family. So he went to the house. So the lady was very old. He went with someone. He didn't go alone. So they went and they met, then they asked about the husband. Husband had passed away. So then this alim, this Mufti Sahib, asked the lady, how was your husband? So she never, then he asked, was he abusive? So she replied, yes. But then he narrated the dream to her. So she said, I forgave him from the bottom of my heart. What she said? I forgave him from the bottom of my heart. So the Mufti Sahib said that she forgave him, but Allah never forgave him. Our mothers, our wives, our fathers, our children. These are all, our mother, the pain she goes through to carry us. We never saw the pain that our mother had. But now we married, we see the pain of our wives. So then we should think of what pain our mothers had. See? The pain that they carry us, they feed us, they wake up at night, change our nappies. They sacrifice, like I mentioned, this lady, to bring up her children. 44 years she lived. Sacrifice. See? So the ladies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them that they are innocent by nature, provided they stay in the natural habitat. A lion in his natural habitat, he got all his sifat. See, the animals in their natural habitat. So what is the natural habitat of a woman? The home. Allah Ta'ala says they should remain, glued firm, whatever in their houses. See? So by nature they are innocent. By nature they are soft. See? So we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all these favors. See? All these gifts. Gifts, even the children. Eh? Ulama say that Allahumma rabbi habli min ladunka habl, something like this, that the children are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is our responsibility to our children? What is our responsibility to our wives? See? That the men have been given responsibility over the ladies, over their families. What is the responsibility? Everything is in sunnah, my dear brothers. Today they are extremes. Today they are extremes. Today they are extremes. Either the man, he got no... He made his wife the Amir of the house. Although Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran that the man is appointed as Amir. But the other extreme, the men are, they become angry and they use violence on their wives. We go back to sunnah. Go back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when the wives of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they put those demands, what they demanded. Anybody knows what the wives of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demanded? Radiyallahu anhum. See, they wanted the latest cell phone. No? So what was it at that time? The latest they wanted, they were demanding. Right, Mona? They were only asking for that because the conquests were coming. And we know that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that they saw the birth of the moon and the birth of the moon and the birth of the moon, and the stove was not lit in the houses, in any of the houses of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They never had food, they never cooked. So they were asking for the basic necessities today, which we might not even take, you know, like we take, today everyone takes for granted. The basic necessities of life. But because they demanded, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam separated himself. See? And on the other hand, Nabi, although they demanded, he never got angry, he never used any bad words on them, he never called them any bad words, he separated. See? And on the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the best among you is the one who is good to his wife, to his family. And from those that are good to their families, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he is the best. See? So that balance, how to manage. See? Come back to sunnah. We don't look at the rest of the world. We don't look at the West. We don't see what they are saying. We go back to the sunnah. And to understand the sunnah, we go back to the ulama. Pious hadith says that when you need to ask from the pious learned ulama. See? So we diverted a little bit, but just to look after our families, look after our children, we need this effort, my dear brothers. Our responsibility is to prepare them for the grave. That lady that is cooking for us, seeing to our house, bringing up our children, taking care of our desires. What is our responsibility to her? To see that when she leaves this world, Allah is happy with her. And when she goes in the grave, she can answer the questions of the grave. We have to help her, that in our absence, what is the requirement from us? Is 4 months every year. What is left after 4 months? 8 months. Then from the 8 months, they say 10 days every month. That's 80 days. So 200 days are gone already. How many days are we left with? 155, 165, we work on the solar calendar. From the 165, then we give 8 hours a day. So who will look after the children? Who will make them understand who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who will make them understand about akhirah? See, who? The woman. Many times, those people in our Islamic schools also, or the madrasas, those people, I mean, they don't understand properly the mizaj of deen. You know? If the child, if the father has gone out in jamaat, we have seen it, we have heard it, We know who have said it also. Then they blame the father is not at home. Absent father syndrome. They call it the absent father syndrome. But actually, that means that whoever it is, they don't understand Islam. Because Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was absent. Not for 4 months. He was absent for many years. But what happened to his son, Hazrat Nabi Ismail alayhi salam? So who made him understand who is Allah? Nabi Ismail, who made him love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who made him ready to give his life? Oh brothers, they come forward, inshallah. Come forward. Fill this dump. Come forward, inshallah. Come.
See, who made him ready? That when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I see in that dream that I am slaughtering you. Who made him ready? It was his mother. And that's why we are told the effort of Masturat, the talim in our houses. So when we are gone out, if we are not there, our families, they must know what to do. They must know what amal to establish. So that's why we take them out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they can learn this amal. Then they won't find it a burden, because they themselves will have a maqsad, they'll have a purpose. You know, when a person is out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his children get sick, may Allah grant everyone good health, all those that are out in the path of Allah at the moment, may Allah make it easy for the families. May Allah ta'ala keep the families well. May Allah protect the families, inshallah. May Allah accept the tears and the heartache of all those women and children as a means of hidayat for the entire mankind. But when something happens and the children get sick and the mother complains, you know, she just has to say, your father is gone, now I'm in this position. She has poisoned the hearts of those children. And on the other hand, she can say, my dear children, your father is gone to this place to make effort for the people to die with iman. And Allah Ta'ala has sent the sickness to us to elevate us. Now our du'as, your father is out, our du'as are strong. And now Allah sent this condition, our du'as are even stronger. Let us make du'a. What she done to the minds of the children? Just these two different statements. See? One will put a dislike for tabligh, and the other will instill fikr for the hidayat of mankind. So for the ladies to get that, they have to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the children will cry. Many brothers, they say when they go masturat, they cry. When they go menzamat, they don't cry. But when they go masturat, they cry. One brother told me last week also. See? Because they're leaving the children without them. When you go, you leave your mother, leave the mother is there. When you go masturat, you're taking the mother away from them. So the level of Qurbani goes to another height. See? This is what this whole work is about also. Sometimes we are told, go to Pakistan. Go to Pakistan more than to learn the work is to learn to sacrifice. You're supposed to give 6 points in order, but no, it's alright. So he shouted at me afterwards. This, what you call it, once we were in Raivin, so one of our ulama, senior ulama, after the Fajr Bayan, he'll tell you that make ikhtilat. So we turned around, he was near me, I spoke to someone, he was speaking to someone. So he's making that man, making his tashkil to go for 1 year. Our South African alim is making the tashkil of the Pakistani brother to go for 1 year. So he's listening also. Nicely, he's listening to him. After that, he asked him, like, you know, where you from, you know, all that. So the brother returned from 1 year, 3 days, just before that. And he went home. He said the entire night, he gave his wife the karguzari of the 1 year. Before Fajr, they decided that they cannot continue their life as they were before. So he spent 3 days at home and he came to Raivin to present himself to give his life. So our Maulana from South Africa, I say he felt so small. So just to learn to sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much. And the greatest gift Allah has given us is the gift of iman, my dear brothers. That like they meant so many people, they are involved in research, they're involved in science. They are studying the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after so much of research and studying, they still haven't recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, without research, we recognize Allah. Allah has given us the gift of iman, that we believe in Allah. We take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the fruit. Now this is summer. All the fruits start coming out. We see the colors of the fruits. And we attribute it to Allah. To attribute this debt, to see the fruit, when you taste the fruit and you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a gift from Allah. Because there are billions of people in the world eat the fruit and they don't think of Allah, they don't recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we recognize Allah. Maybe it's weak. Our recognition may not be like strong, like Anbiya alayhim as-salam and Sahaba radiyal anhu, but the recognition is there. This itself is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? That Allah has created everything without the help of anyone. Allah Ta'ala created everything without the raw materials or resources. See, whatever we want to manufacture. Man cannot create. Insan cannot create. We manufacture. We make something. At home, if they want to make a loaf of bread, They need all the ingredients.
Just one small loaf of bread.
Want to make one cup of tea? You need the ingredients. Allah created without any ingredients.
Allah created by His power.
Allah Ta'ala is independent. To bring something into existence, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does not need the help of anyone, nor of anything. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need any equipment. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need a factory. Allah Ta'ala is totally independent. To bring something into existence, Allah is independent. To remove it from existence, Allah Ta'ala is independent. Allah Ta'ala can destroy something without the help of anyone or anything. And what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, whatever He has created, cannot harm Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whatever man has made for our benefit, he made the car, manufactured the car for our benefit. How many people were killed in their own car? Sometimes expensive cars. Man made the knife for his benefit. How many people were harmed by their own knife? We made the gun for our benefit. How many people were killed by their own gun? But can any, if all the vicious and wild animals of the world get together, can they harm Allah Ta'ala? Leave all the, if all the creation get together, can they do anything to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Nothing. Every creation is totally dependent on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is totally independent of all of the creation. Every creation needs Allah. And Allah Ta'ala does not need anything from any of the creation. Allahu Samad. We read every, most in our witr, we read. We have to be conscious, my dear brothers. Conscious. We read the du'as also. Before we wake up, before going to the toilet, coming out of the toilet, read the du'as with consciousness. Know the meaning. That every time we, this masnoon du'as, our iman will increase. The recognition of Allah will increase. The love of Allah will increase. Come out of the toilet, khufranak, alhamdulillahi ladhi. Every dua, after eating, alhamdulillah illadhi. After the toilet, alhamdulillah illadhi. After sleeping, alhamdulillah illadhi. All praise is due to Allah, the one who gave us life after death. The one who gave us relief from our discomfort. The one who gave us food to eat. Allah and Allah alone. Allah and Allah alone. See, when we finish eating, that food, alhamdulillah illadhi at'amana. That this, we didn't eat because we were working. We didn't eat because we had money to buy the groceries. We eat only because of, by the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When we get sick, everything is there in the house. But we can't eat. We don't feel like eating. It can be your favorite food. What has happened? So we don't eat by our own will also. We eat by the permission of Allah. The food that is on the table is by the permission of Allah. So all these du'as, our salah, if we become conscious, the du'as after our salah, most of the masnoon du'as, the askar after salah, is related to the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It turns our attention to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is, we have to make this such an effort, my dear brothers, that at all times till we come to a stage like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they don't fear anyone or anything. They don't fear anyone or anything. We are afraid. We are afraid of people. We are afraid of conditions. Sahaba were not afraid of anything. So much effort we have to make. And on Muhammadur Rasulullah, make so much effort that we don't see success in any other way. We do not see happiness in any other way. We are not bothered by the comments of anyone. Whatever is sunnah to us. There is no compromise. Where a person can test his, can check his own iman. Oh, his yaqeen on Muhammadur Rasulullah is at the time of when? Of nikah. That is when a person can check how much yaqeen we got in Muhammadur Rasulullah. When we start thinking about what the people will say. The walima is sunnah. But so many times in that walima there is no sunnah. In the walima itself there is no sunnah, my dear brothers. So our concern is to impress the people, not to impress Habibullah, Sayyid al-Kawnain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to worry, my dear brothers, like one of our brothers is not here now, he says that 1 degree off now, our third generation will be 90 degrees off. Our Haji Baipadi, rahmatullah alayhi, when he spoke about sunnah in the weddings and in the walimas,
People thought he's mad. I know one person that even swore by Padia,
Rahmatullah Ali.
But after that, Bhai Padia was tolerant. Bhai Padia was patient. Bhai Padia still used to smile. Bhai Padia still used to hug the people. May Allah give all of us that are doing the work these qualities. See? Then in the end, that person said, no, that this is the right way. Bhai Padia made so much effort to bring us to the Sunnah. And today, we analyze ourselves. Are we on what he taught us from the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or slowly we are moving away? Slowly we are moving away, my dear brothers. See? Some people say, you mustn't speak all this. But this, we are moving away from the Sunnah. Sometimes our dressing is Sunnah also. We are wearing kurta, but in that kurta sometimes it's khilaf of Sunnah also. See? So no one can check anyone else. I have to check myself. How much yaqeen in the tariqah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Then I know whether I got yaqeen in Muhammadur Rasulullah. We mentioned before that there's a doctor in Madina Munawwara. He was working in America. In America, he used to dress like this. When he got the offer, and they accepted him for the job, but they told him in Madina you'll have to wear suit and tie. So he told them, in the land of the kuffar, I was dressed like my Nabi. You want in the land of my Nabi, I must dress like a kafir. The doctor is still alive till today. He's there now. I think he's there from 95. So how many years gone by? At that time, now we had to move out a little bit, but at that time his masjid was Masjid al-Nabawi. His masjid wal jamaat, they were operating from Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they didn't take the job. After a few months, they called him. Try to think this, in the land of the kuffar, I was just like my Nabi. You want in the land of my Nabi, I was just like a kafir. So we have to say, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That in the way of life, Allah Ta'ala will only accept from us on the day of Qiyamah the tariqah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How the love for the Sunnat. One is love and the other is to be proud of the Sunnat wherever we go. See? And our elders in the Bayan, we heard many times, they used to say, they say that one is to make an effort to remove the ways of the kuffar from our lives. But greater than that is to make an effort to remove that yaqeen in our hearts in the ways of the kuffar. And second, you say, one is to make an effort to bring sunnah into our life. Say, greater than that is to make an effort to bring that yaqeen, conviction in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the elders mentioned that the sahaba, they hated the way of the Jews and the Christians, but they had a desire for the hidayat. Say, today we hate the Jews and Christians, but we love the way of life. See? So to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many incidents we know that Sahaba in the battle, when they made miswak, Allah gave them the victory. Only one sunnat. See? Our success, our happiness, our victory over the enemies is only in the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this yaqeen to enter our hearts, my dear brothers, we have to make effort. Without effort, it won't happen. Otherwise, we know of incidents that when a young boy told his mother that he wants to become an alim, and the mother was five times performing a salah, tahajjud she was performing, making tilawat of Quran. She asked him, "So if you become an alim, how will you eat?" See, I know personal examples. Said, how will you eat? So ibadat is there in its place, but iman is another effort, my dear brothers. The conviction and belief upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The trust upon Allah. Dependence upon Allah. Attention towards Allah. Attention to Allah in every condition, in every situation. For that I need this effort. And our Imam al-Hasan sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say, if we lose, when we're out in the path of Allah, if we lose the umumi gashb of the day, we lost half the day. This yaqeen, the easiest way is in the umumi gashb. When they make us mutakallim, see, person to person, door to door, don't enter the houses. Give the same da'wah again and again, again and again. So that it must enter my heart. It must enter my heart. See, this is it, that to give this da'wah, to invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to invite to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This umumi gash is a training for us. See? Now, you go back about 30 years, 35 years, Jamaat goes to any area. There were hardly any old workers. There were hardly any fomenters.
Hardly.
So what the Jamaat used to do mostly?
Just do umikash, house to house.
Now we go to an area, we go to meet the old workers, the fomenters, the brothers not active. So slowly, slowly, most of our time goes on that.
Not that it mustn't be done.
Not saying it mustn't be done, it's also necessary. But the most, for my own heart, to be affected with the greatness of Allah, to get that yaqeen of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the basic effort is the umumi kashf, my dear brothers. So we should be looking forward, that should be the highlight of the week, that we come to the masjid before Maghrib.
If our kashf is before Maghrib.
Many masjid in summer we change our kashf, we also change. We change it from Maghrib to Isha, so we change from Asr to Maghrib. But we just make it back from work,
we are rushing,
we are hungry. Time is short between Asr and Maghrib. See? And then we do the Amal. See?
Short.
See? But if we really to take this as important, to be in the masjid early, to make dua, this is the highlight of the entire week. So that I can build my yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can build my yaqeen in the tariq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can build my yaqeen on amal. That we learn to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salah. See, that this salah, they say, how our elders tell us, that if your kashf was successful, you will find a difference in your, say if kashf was Maghrib to Isha, the Isha salah will be better than the Maghrib salah. That's how you can gauge, not how many people came for the bayan, how we gauge the success of our kashf, is what is the difference in my salah. But our elders say, come forward, close here. Come forward. Come forward, my dear brother, inshallah. This movement we are, when we move like this, we are coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One step towards Allah, ta'ala comes 10 steps towards us. Come close, don't leave any gap in front. Inshallah. Come forward. What do you say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salah. That if our salah is correct, then our life will become correct. If our salah is correct, it will prevent us from shamelessness, from evil. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that salah which is followed by a sin is no salah at all. That once the sahaba came to complain about a person that he performed salah all night and then used to steal before daybreak, before dawn, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said, that very soon his salah will win him of this evil. We got many, many evils in us, many mistakes. How to control our eyes, how to control our tongue, how to control my ears, what I'm hearing, how to control my mind, my heart, my thoughts, my desires, my limbs. Allah gave us a very easy way to bring all this under control, that our salah. If salah is correct, our life will become correct. So our elders say, make an effort on our salah. And if I list all the evils in my life and how to eradicate each one, is a big task. But if I make effort on salah, I stand correctly, my arms are folded correctly, my gaze is in the right place, I'm reciting in the right tone, in the right volume also. See, my ruku is correct, my sajda is correct. I'm conscious. Man Yusuf Sahab, we hear from our elders, Man Yusuf Sahab, rahmatullahi, you say that in every posture, at least 3 times you should become conscious. Allah is looking at me, Allah is listening. In this way, inshallah, that we will, that those things will, we will get weaned. Those things will come out of our life. You say, salah will create in us the ability to practice upon deen. So for this, we have to make an effort on our salah. To make effort on salah, we have to be early. We have to take out time. If I come last minute, I come just before the fard, how am I going to get that time to make effort? We read in Fazail Amal, how many of the friends of Allah, 100 rakats of nafil salah every day. And now our elders today, our senior ulama, they are reminding us that leave the 100 rakats of nafil salah, they sing our basic salah, the sunnat muakkida, sunnat ghair muakkida, and how we can bring this into our lives. We go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also this is the opportunity. And definitely if our jamaat, we go to a foreign country, we are musafir. We are musafir. But we're not on safar, my dear brothers. We are inside the masjid. We are in the house of Allah. Our bedding is there. Our dastarkhan is there. Our bags are there. The toilet is in one place. See? And then we leave out this salah. What's the reason? Say we are musafir. So we Allah says, so shaitan got many tricks. Say whatever we do in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become part of our life. So we have to make effort on our salah. See? These six qualities that we have to, we are told to make effort on. If we make effort on these qualities, then to bring the rest of deen into our life will become easy. So one is on our iman and yaqeen, then on salah. And now to perform that salah correctly, to obey, to fulfill every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. See, one is to know that I have to perform salah. I have to pay my zakat. I have to go for hajj. But how? For this we need ilm, my dear brothers. And like our elders say, there are two parts. One are the rules and the regulations. See? What is the timing of salah? When does fajr time start? When does it end? When does ishraq time start? When does it end? Salatul Duha. Now we were in Addis, because the Zohar Azan is given at the Owal Waqt, just after the middle of the day, Zawal, after the zenith of the sun. Many of the old people, they come to the masjid half an hour, 45 minutes before, and they perform the Salatul Duha in the masjid. Many masajid, old people came early. Before Zohar, before the Azan, the masjid is already abad. The Zohar time, when does it start, when does it finish? All this, the masail, we have to go and learn from the ulama. See? The ulama, I mean, we say, the Maulana, how many years they took? If we include those that became hafiz, sometimes they spend 10, 11 years, 12 years. So it's not, mind, when they teach us, they're teaching us in a simple form. But they didn't reach that stage just overnight. So many years behind them. And like our Maulana Ibrahim Sahib is emphasizing, that the other part of ilm is that to know the rewards which Allah Ta'ala is going to give us. Ihtisab. How the hadith says, whoever fasts in Ramadan with iman and ihtisab. Whoever stands in Ramadan in Taraweeh Salah every night, in explanation, with iman and ihtisab. Whoever stands on the night of Qadr with iman and ihtisab. Iman. Without iman, no action got any value in the akhirah. No action got value. Without iman, the action got no value. And the second, for iman is the basis. And the other part for an action to be complete, one is the rules, you do it correctly, but the other is to know ihtisab, that to have yaqeen, conviction in the reward that Allah Ta'ala has promised for that action. That's why we are told, sit in talim every day. Every day, we the men in the masjid, and then go home and sit in talim at home. Many times, in our targhib, we hear the brothers say, the ladies don't come to the masjid. But in many parts of the world, the ladies come to the masjid. See, so that, you know, so some places you go, you use that day, it doesn't hold weight. See, so the talim at home is not because the ladies don't come to the masjid. The talim at home is firstly for me, and then for my wife, and then for my children. So we have to take this notion out that we're doing talim at home for them. Every action, every amal is firstly for myself. So because we don't see the need ourselves, sometimes the talim at home is not taking place every day. How many brothers we speak to? We ask, how's the talim going at home? Say, not every day. Why not every day? We go home and eat every day. We go home and have supper every day. We go home and sleep every day. But why not talim every day? Because I haven't seen it as my need. I have not seen it as my need. I'm thinking it's for them. Not for me. I sat in the masjid. So just telling we, because our hearts are not soft like the hearts of the ladies and children. For them, one session is enough. Because we are out in the world, and our heart is bombarded the whole day. Buy and sell. Make a profit. Do your work, do your job. This advert, that person, this person upset you. Our hearts are bombarded. So we need to talim in the masjid, and we need talim at home also. Listen to the, you say, how we say, listen again and again, till we get conviction in the rewards promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have to become conscious of Allah. Like our elders say, we have to fulfill the command of Allah. Through iman, we get the strength. And then through salah, we get the ability. And through ilm, we do the amal correctly. We have yaqeen in the reward. So we are fulfilling the command of Allah. But The command of Allah is to be fulfilled, conscious of the status and the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this we have to make the dhikr of Allah, make the tilawat of Quran. See, this tilawat, we go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the halqa of tajweed. That we do is not just through some jamaats, we see. Every day to the 10 surahs, surah Fatiha and 10 surahs. See? And this is not the talk from our elders. It's not in the hidayah talk. Never ever they said you must only do the 10 surahs. Once we were in Nizamuddin, Imam Ahmad Padi rahmatullahi was with us, Dr. Ashraf was there. One jamaat of all ulama, they went out for 20 days. When they came back, one of the elders was taking the karguzari. So when he took the karguzari, asked him what you did in the halqa of tajweed. So they said they did 10 surahs. Surah Fatiha and 10 surahs. He became so angry. So we go, everyone was a hafiz al-Quran. Everyone was a alim. That was the first tashkil of the 1 year. In Mewat. He became so angry with them. Once Tawas Qadi Dawood Sahib was taking karguzari from a Mastura Jamaat. So how they take karguzari? They got the curtain here. Mufti Asad, you know, right? The men are here. Qadi Dawood is sitting on the chair. In the Jamaat from Bangladesh, he was a young alim. Now Qadi Dawood was in his 90s, so he's sitting right next to Qadi Dawood, no? Because now Buzruk, so he's pressing his legs. And you know, the young ulama like to make khidmat of the senior ulama. Like naturally they have through their knowledge, they get this instinct or they get this quality of making khidmat of the ulama. So Qadi Dawood Sahib asked them, how much time you gave for the halqa of tajweed? How much time the ladies gave for the halqa of tajweed? So the young men replied, 10-15 minutes. So that Maulana was pressing Qadi Dawood Sahib's legs, Rahmatullah Ali, he gave him a tight smack. He said, can anything be more important than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I was sitting there also. So you give 15 minutes for Quran and for the kitab, you give 1 hour, you give 1.5 hour? So the Amir of the Jamaat is telling, so he told Qadi Dawood Sahib, Qadi Sahib, take it easy because the ladies are listening. See? So we go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What our elders tell us, what is the object of that halqa of tajweed? To read the Quran from the beginning till the end. Like how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the Quran to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. See, time is almost up. See, I just mentioned one story about this Quran. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his wives. And Hazrat Fatima radhiyallahu anha came to the room. And hadith is mentioned more or less like this, that her footsteps were like the footsteps of her father. The knock on the door was like the knock of her father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she came inside. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made place for either to his left or right. And then he whispered something in her ear and she began to cry. Then he whispered something else and she smiled. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and left. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell you? So she gave a reply. Fatima gave a reply to this. I'm giving my own words now, right? That if he wanted everyone to know, he would have spoken loudly. But the fact that he whispered in her ear was a secret. So very soon after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left this world. He passed away from dunya. So then Hazrat Fatima radiallahu told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha that now what was told to me has become apparent. I will tell you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, normally I recite the Quran. Normally he recites the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salam once or twice a year. See, that this year I've already recited the Quran twice, and now there will be no occasion for me, or no chance to recite the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salam again. So this when we sit in the halqa of tajweed. This is a sunnah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself read the Quran to somebody else. Our Quran, our askar, the masnoon du'as, see? This will create the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we're doing amal. Now to protect the amal, that we ensure that we do not violate the haq of anyone. See? In the time of the kuffar, that one kafir, I can't remember the name. You remember the name, dog? He said that if it wasn't for my debts, and wasn't for the responsibility of my family, I'll go to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A kafir, he was worried about his debts. A kafir. Today what we hear around us, or anywhere the talk of dishonesty, of cheating, of lying. See? Imagine a kafir was worried about his debts. See? So we don't slander anyone. We don't backbite anyone. These are all the rights of people, that they should not be slandered. They should not be backbited. They should be paid on time. This is the haq. And the haq of the people in our house.
Before we were small, the haq of our parents, the haq of that wife, the haq of those children. See, what is the haq of this? Sahaba used to go and ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One Sahabi went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my wife gave birth to a son. What are my duties towards him? To this meaning, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that teach him the book of Allah. Teach him how to use the bow and arrow. See? Teach him how to use the bow and arrow. And leave for him as inheritance halal wealth. So that's why we have to. All this is there in the Hayatu Sahaba. But we haven't got time for our normal house study. Then when are we going to find time for this? See? What are the rights of our children? Who was that Sahabi? Was it Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu? No, Abdullah bin Zubair. See? When he went to fight, he should have his son on, tied to his back. And when he went in the battle, he faced 200,000 enemy. No fear. See? What is the condition of our sons? They're very fast on the phone. They can type that message. You know, you can't even see the, how they type. But can they use the bow and arrow? See? Have they got the strength in their arms to pull that thing back? So we are the fathers.
To the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So the rights of the people in our house, what is our responsibility towards them? Well, we said, it means a lot of things in the beginning. And then for the acceptance of our amal, it has to be done only and only for Allah. Say there's a well or a well in Jahannam. The Jahannam seeks protection 400 times a day. So Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they seek protection from what? I mean, that well is for who? For those who don't have ikhlas, sincerity. But what our ulama advise us, we don't give up an amal, but we rectify our intention. If I feel my intention has deviated, then what I do? I have to ask myself that whose command is this? For example, if I'm reading Quran, whose command is this? Command of Allah. Who is going to give me the reward for this amal? Who can give me the reward? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why should I do it for anyone else? I do it only for Allah. So we rectify our intention, See? For the acceptance of our amal. And then, my dear brothers, that how we can understand and how we can make every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understand that Allah ta'ala has purchased our life and wealth in exchange of Jannah. Allah has purchased. What we hear from ulama, the past tense is used. I'm not still gonna. Once you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, we sold it. It's gone. But Allah has left it with us. I got a car. I sell it to Khalid. But Khalid said, keep the car because I got no place in town to park the car. You keep the car in your yard. You can use it whenever you want. When I need, I'll take it. Huh? So car is whose? Khalid's. Soul is gone. He paid me already. Allah Ta'ala already paid us. He prepared Jannah for us. See? Just think that our money is ours. Most of the extravagance, or all extravagance, is because I don't have yakin that this wealth does not belong to me. So many times people say that when for example, you tell them that keep the wedding, keep the walima, no wedding, there's no wedding by us. There's no proposal by us. In the shari, in the seerah, the girl side accept the proposal, and then after that is the nikah immediately. No, there's a word of proposed, engaged, and then married. Doesn't exist in the seerah, my dear brothers. So we have to come back. Wallah, we have to come back to the original. Then we'll be successful in dunya and akhirat. See? The sahaba put the proposal, they accepted, and same time they made the nikah. So this, most many people say, this is my money, I worked hard, it's halal. You worked hard, it's halal, but who does it belong to? Firon, Amir Firon, Qarun said the same thing, that I earned this with my intelligence, with my hard work. When Nabi Musa alayhi salam came to him and told him, spend out of what Allah has given you. See? So our wealth, how our elders tell us, that when we want to spend on anything, then read the waqia of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his wife. That when she wanted to cook that sweet dish, so the many lessons from this, she took permission from the husband first to save the money. So he gave her permission. When she saved the money and she took the money to say, now go buy the carrots and buy the milk so we can make the gajar halwa. I'm just giving an example. He took the money, he put it back in the Baitul Man and cut his thing down. What she did? She ran to all the ulama to complain about her husband. She accepted. See, who's the boss in the house? The
husband. See, he's an amir, not a boss, he's an amir. How you're the amir of a jamaat, you must behave like an amir also. You must behave like an amir. Not like an amir, not like a dictator. Behave like an amir, you work with mashura. So when we have to spend our elders, say, read this waqiyah first. Hatim Rahmatul Alayhi, when he came to Medina Munawwara, so by that time the wealth had come into Medina. So he asked, where is the palace of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I want to read two rakats in there. So they said, there's no palace of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in there, but his house was,
the roof was just above the head, simple house,
small. Then he said, where's the palace of his companions, radiallahu anhum? See, they also had no palace, the houses also,
the roof was just above the head.
Or he said that this must be the city of who? Of their own. He said, Mabi. So the people got offended, so they took him to the Amir of Medina Munawwara. Person was a governor. Say, person said, the city of Firaun. Imagine you say Medina Munawwara is the city of Firaun. So he said, hold on, let me explain. So when he explained that this is not, doesn't look like how it looked in the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then they understood. He gave them a lesson. He was teaching them a lesson. So if we keep this, most of extravagance, or not all of extravagance, is because we don't have yakin that this wealth belongs to Allah. Our life belongs to Allah. Allah has purchased it, so you must use it to bring, to link people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has purchased this life and wealth from us, so that we can go and link people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We went to Habasha, our Jamaat went to Habasha. See, the land of first hijrat. Land of first hijrat. The Ashabi Kaf, what they did, they came out of the town and they went into the cave. To protect Iman, my dear brothers, we have to move out. This is proof, evidence, that to protect this deen, that we have to move out of our places. See, we have to go out, my dear brothers. We have to sacrifice our time and our wealth. And strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing which came in Sahaba, that Sahabi, Huzafa, what is his name? Abdullah, who kissed that king on his forehead? Abdullah bin Huzafa. Eh? Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu. See? That when they were taking him to throw him into the boiling oil, he started crying. So they told, now the man, he got scared. Now he changes. When he brought him back, what he said? Now I'm crying because I only got one life. I was to telling Allah Ta'ala, if you gave me more lives, I would have given everyone for you. So the king realized that these people, you can't break them. You can't break them. Hasbunallah. How some parts of the world, people are suffering. They're eating grass. But what they say, hasbunallah. What have I got in me? So he told him, if you kiss me on my forehead, I'll let you go. But he said, if you let me and all my companions, the fikr, the worry of others, my dear brothers. The worry of others, not only myself, not my, only my salah, not only my children, the worry of others. And when he kissed him on his forehead, they all went back to Madinah Munawwara. Umar commanded all the sahaba to kiss him on his forehead. So this fikr and worry of others, my dear brothers. And to be ready to sacrifice. To get this, we have to spend 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cutting ourselves from the 8 things Allah ta'ala mentioned in Surah Tawbah. Physically, emotionally, cut all contact. Our parents, our children, our spouses, our relatives, abaukum, abnaukum, ikhwanukum, our siblings, see, our jobs and our businesses, our wealth and our homes. Cut ourselves off 4 months. At least once in our lifetime we spend that 4 months. Cut off completely, inshallah. To get this worry and concern, and to get the desire to die for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing which left the ummah was the desire to die for Islam, to die for Allah. Then every other thing fell out of Islam. So who makes niyat, inshallah? Come, my dear brothers. First tasking is 4 months, always. Khalid. Khalid, you got the name. You got the name. You ready to give your life? Inshallah. Mawlana Abdul Hakim. Abiz Yusuf Ghani. Bahruddin from Belmont. Muhammad Umar. Salman Fajal from? Shakas Kral, mashallah. 4 months. When? More or less?
Not for us, you're not going to come in here, but just you make me here to put so that you have some deadline, you have something to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Masihullah, 4 months pedal. When, Mawlana? January. Allah accept, Allah make it easy, inshallah. Ulama, he's teaching. Alim, going to go in the path of Allah walking. We have to take a lesson, my dear brothers. Omar, Sheikh Omar, mashallah. What's the intention, Sheikh Omar? 4 months. When? January. Walking with Mawlana.
Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Every step pedal, Jamal. What is the reward? You mentioned 700 sins forgiven, 700 virtues written in the account, 700 stages raised in Jannah. How many stages in Jannah?
Feed, you know?
Huh?
Teacher Faiz. Teacher Faiz. 40 days. Cash. From tonight.
MashaAllah.
Muhammad Wahid. What's the intention, Muhammad Bhai? 4 months. When? More or less? When? Next year, Allah make it inshallah. Hafiz Junaid Salaji. 40 days and 40 nights. Masturat inshallah. Bilal? 4 months pedal. With Mawlana?
Allahu Akbar. The strong Jamaat this man. Abdul Razak from? Huh? Roshid, mashallah. Huh? Wasim from? In Changa, mashallah. What's your intention, Wasim? 40 days? Out, mashallah. Where's all those boys from? All Broadsheet, Allahu Akbar, mashallah. Allah accept them. Allah make them means of hidayat, inshallah. Allah make them real da'is, ulama, ufaz. Eh? Ahmed from? From where? Reservoir Hills, mashallah. 3 days. Allah accept, inshallah.
What's your name?
Ali.
Ali. Oh, what am I doing? Sheikh Rashid. 40 days. When? Cash. Allahu Akbar. Allah accept, inshallah. Si. Kaji. MashaAllah. Mawlana Muhammad Sahib.
One Jamaat from the block.
Si. One Jamaat. For how long? For Chilla?
40 days.
40 days, MashaAllah.
Cash, inshallah. The whole Jamaat, all the brothers here from.
All from bluff.
All from bluff.
You're not bluffing us. No?
40 days cash,
come, my dear brothers. To stand up is an ibadat. That's a reward written in our account. We give our name is another ibadat. It's another reward, another hasanat. Come, my dear brothers. More intense, 4 months. Abdul Wahab, you got the name. Now you just have to walk the talk. See? When? 4 months?
Next year.
Next year, inshallah.
Hafiz Ahmed Kadwa.
Hafiz Ahmed.
40 days Pakistan. Cash.
Inshallah. You need to give him a chamat. Maulana.
Fahim.
Fahim is out cash, inshallah. Make dua.
Australia.
Allah give them the visas tomorrow, inshallah. You can move.
Haji Imran Mullah.
Haji Imran Mullah, 4 months.
4 months.
Ready, 4 months foreign. InshaAllah.
Come, mashallah.
Every Jamaat, every day is valuable also. One Jamaat was made at night in the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know how we say? We sleep in Hilal, we go in the morning. Isn't it? Our 3 days? We like to sleep in Hilal. Come, sleep in Hilal, go in the morning. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them? Would you not? So, where they want you to sleep? Where? See? Masjid al-Nabawi. And what Rasulullah told them? Would you not like to spend this night in one of the gardens of Jannah? So if they slept in Masjid al-Nabawi, won't be itikaf. But go out. Preference, move. Move. Don't remain behind. Don't remain in our places. We have to move out, my dear brothers. Come, my dear brothers. So all these jamaats, alhamdulillah, every day, each person they're leaving behind, they sacrifice behind them. And we want to harness that sacrifice. So Allah must send hidayat down in the world. Allah must remove the batil. Allah must destroy the batil. Allah must make iman reach the heart of every person. So this sacrifice can't be lost. Every single person who's coming out, whoever is starting, there is kurbani behind them. There is sacrifice. When a person normally, Dr. Ashraf told me last night, when they left, the Jamaat leaves their house, they must have cried, their children cried, their wife cried.
Cash,
see? Now those tears, that sacrifice, what we want from there. See? There's a Phoenix Jamaat after the Jalsa. InshaAllah. See? Come on, who else? All those that gave the name for 4 months pedal. And we can stand up, inshallah. Where must they go? Come on the right hand side. We'll sit with them. 4 months pedal. Come, Mona Masullah, Sheikh Umar, Bilal. Come, inshallah. See this Jamaat. All. Who else? Anybody looking at them, inshallah, is a strong Jamaat. Join them. You'll benefit from them. Mona Masullah is there. Sheikh Umar is there. Bilal is there. All these are brothers who are active every day in the masjids. Those brothers who haven't been for 4 months, India, Pakistan. You are in India, Pakistan? No, you've been in India, Pakistan already. The 4 months is a foreign. Pakistan. InshaAllah. So all those for 4 months in India, Pakistan, they can stand up also. And they can go one side. Where's Zaid Qazi? See, we'll sit with them. Man Arshad, we'll sit with them, inshallah. Find out the date, preparation, the lawyer. All those Jamaat, Bluff Jamaat, Saprosi Jamaat, which other Jamaat we got, the Gesed, out Nakat, all those brothers who are out there, Ashival Jamaat, if they're the Zimidar, can go there. Just write it down, how many brothers, what's the noid of the Jamaat, what's the Tafakkur, how far we must send you all, send you all to Cape Town, send you all to Namibia, send you all to Iceland, Fiji Islands, depending on the Tafakkur, isn't it? We have come to spend.
As individuals.
And those who are not in any Jamaat, they also go one side, inshallah. Go there. Then tomorrow morning when you make it, a mashura, it'll be easy for us. Otherwise somebody will be left out after the mashura is made, then you'll come and say, no, we have to be put in the Jamaat. So let's we go there now, give our name, inshallah, and nobody will be left out. See. Last week many brothers made niyat for Masturat. Said they're going to go home. They want to convince their wife. How? We didn't tell them how, right? But anyone made any effort in the past week for Masturat? See? Remove the notion from our minds that it is wrong to leave the children. Remove it, my dear brothers. Remove it. Remove it. They will cry. We're not saying they won't cry. It is difficult. We're not saying it's easy. But it's needed. Our Haji Ismail Baif from Zambia, our brother, alhamdulillah, you say those tears are matlub and maqsood. They are matlub and maqsood. He wanted, his objective, he wanted them to cry. Allah Ta'ala will send down hidayat. So who any area made effort for the Jamaat? Many brothers, I'm going to take their name now, say they're going to make effort. Anyone, one is that Jamaat comes out, don't come out, that's not, but who made effort, what effort did we make?
One complete Jamaat from Springbok Commission, Masturat.
The Jamaat was made 1 month ago. Now we talk about from last week. Those who made niyat last week. You have made any effort, you have put the names down. We analyze the brothers who spent 4 months but haven't been with Masturat yet. Did we go and meet them at their houses so their families can listen also? See, we mentioned the numbers. I can't remember the numbers now. But like 235 have spent chillah with Masturat and 3,600 have spent 4 months and 40 days. So how are we going to bring that up? In the next 3 years, at least we can make it 470 over a 3 year period, another 235. Shuaib can happen in Palok. See? But it won't happen like that. If you sit down, put the names down, go and meet them. Spingo made niyat for another Jamaat for 10 days. Any fikr? Phoenix made niyat. See, Dr. Shah? Sit in the halkas, inshallah. And all these points, make fikr. This Masturat thing, write it down, keep it. How we can bring this number up. InshaAllah. Actually, we should try, we say in the next 3 years, bring to 3,600. But at least, just make another 235, inshallah. SubhanAllah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.